Good evening. Can you hear me? No? Okay. So, just wanted to say good evening, and I am excited. I'm excited to be here tonight, and I'm excited to be able to share some things that are on my heart with all of you. And I'm just hoping that all of us will be receptive to tonight's message. And before we get started, I just need to pray. I need to pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you so much. So thankful and grateful that you give us the opportunity as women to worship you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I pray, God, that tonight our hearts will be moved, that our minds will be changed, Father God, that we will glorify you through our actions, Father God, once we leave. God, I thank you so much that you would just really help me not to feel nervous, that you'll help me to say what it is that you'd have me say, Father God, that you'll move me out the way, God. God, I praise you and thank you so much for this opportunity. God, I just thank you that you love me the way that you do. I thank you for every woman here, every family represented. And I thank you so much, God, that that we get to be together tonight. Truly, when we're together as women, these are special times, Father God. God, thank you again for loving us unconditionally and not treating us as we deserve. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, that helped. I do. I feel better. Let's see. So I have a video. It's a really short video. It's only like 1 minute. And I want you guys to look at that before we get started. So, there.
Her is Dr. Karen Wynn. She and her team of researchers believe knowing good from bad isn't learned. But we're all actually born with those instincts.
Up goes the curtain.
We watched babies as they were presented with a puppet show. Here, a puppet struggles to open a box. First, we see a green bunny who comes along and helps to open the box. Good behavior, good bunny. Then we see an orange bunny slam the box shut and run away. Bad behavior, bad bunny. When given a choice between the two, more than 80% of six-month-old babies chose the good bunny. And for those just 3 months old, it goes to almost 90%. So if babies know the difference between good and bad, what else do they know? Research.
Okay. I found this to be extremely fascinating. The fact that the babies that are only 3 months old, the percentage of them recognizing or realizing good from evil is 90%. And then it decreases like by 10% every you know, if you watch the whole video, you see it decreases over 6 months' time. It just keeps going down. It keeps going down. And so, you know, I was just kind of trying to do the math with that, and I realized that probably by the time a kid is 6 years old, their moral judgment is just about at 10%. Unless you continue to nurture that, continue to teach them. But again, I just thought it was amazing that even at this young, babies know right from wrong. So you have to discipline those babies, guys. I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew 18, 2 through 24. And it says, he called a little child and had him stand among them. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Seeing this study made me look at this scripture totally different. Like I said, you know, just knowing that our moral judgment is at stake, you know, and it goes down tremendously when we're babies. And after I looked at this and I saw this, I was feeling like, you know, with my kids, with myself, I just need to like slap a diaper on and put a bottle in my mouth or something. I'm so, you know, sometimes I could just get so far away from my thinking, to get so far away from what I know is right. And, you know, and I was thinking about, as we're studying the Bible with people, you know, we call our newly baptized Christians baby Christians. We call the newly baptized people baby Christians. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking how important it is for us to, as mature disciples, to continue to nurture and to teach our baby Christians. And just thinking about how powerful the pull of the world is. And, you know, I was thinking about myself as a little girl, and I can distinctly remember certain times when I felt that pull so strong. I've shared with some of you or a little bit about how I grew up and everything like that, but we were little kids by the time, I guess, the youngest of us, there's six of us, and by the time the youngest was us about 5 years old, I mean, we were cursing like sailors already. We were just, you know, and I was out of those six kids, I know y'all don't believe this, but I was the only one that was trying to hold on and not curse in the house. But eventually, you know, they got me, and I think I learned better how to do it than the rest of them after a while, but it was just that, you know, but I just remember just feeling that pull, feeling Satan's pull, and thinking that, you know, I'm not going to do it. And one day I was packing my bags to leave because all of them, it made me mad. All the siblings, it made me mad. And then my parents pulled up, and when I heard the car come in the driveway, I quickly threw my stuff out. And so they knew I was bluffing, so it never worked again. But I can distinctly remember that pull. You know, right now, we're being challenged by Richard. You know, he's mentioned a few times that, you know, we need to share our faith, that we need to be inviting people out, that we need to be about our purpose. And it is our purpose, you know, is to seek and save the lost. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And we shouldn't have to be prompt to do that. But if we're being prompt to do that, we definitely need to be doing it. And I have to confess this. The reason I put this lesson together, or I was thinking about it, is I'm a little concerned about some of the habits and the attitudes of us as Christians. Some of the things that we allow ourselves to become involved in. A lot of times we think it is, you know, it's the men. But, you know, the women, we get caught up too. We get involved and wrapped up in things. And so that's why the reason why I put this lesson together. And my question to all of you, to all of the women here tonight, the women that are disciples, the ones who've already been baptized, who studied the Bible, the ones who have been taught, the ones who are teaching others, I want to know that... as an individual, if you were to meet someone and teach them to be the exact same as you are as a disciple, what would our church look like? You know, we all have strengths and we have weaknesses. And just which one is more apparent in your character? Which one do you nurture? We must grow to become more like Christ. And again, you know, these people that we're meeting, these people that we're studying the Bible with, the people that we are supposed to be loving up on, the one that we're bringing into our fold, the ones that we are trying to help them to see Christ, these are the baby Christians. And we have to teach them strong Christian character. You know, just like, you know, some things that we teach them as we're studying the Bible with them, those are things, that's their foundation. Those are things that they're going to know. But in order for them to hold on to their things, it's like with this video that we just saw. You have to continue to teach that. You have to continue to help them to grow into that. And we have to call them to Christ. You know, not us, not our expectations, but the expectations of the Bible. Just to grow in God's grace, to grow in their spiritual character, and to grow in their faith. And if we fail to do that, you know, our baby Christians are in danger of falling prey to Satan and his schemes. Let me get you to turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. And it says, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And this scripture is speaking about obedience. It's teaching obedience to the scriptures, and the benefits of that are tremendous. But God also cautions us in his word as well. You know, God is not going to be mocked. God will not be mocked. And in Matthew 18, verses 5 through 7, and if I'm going too fast with this, guys, let me know so I can slow it down. But in Matthew 18, 5 through 7 says, and whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. And then in 2 Timothy 3, 7, gives us another caution, and it just says, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We want to be mindful that when we are learning things, when we're teaching other people, that this isn't who we are. Always learning stuff, always seeing stuff, always hearing stuff, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth by acknowledging it through our actions. Proverbs 19:27 says, stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Another scripture, James 1, 21 through 24. And it says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forget what he looks like. The name of this lesson, the title of this lesson, is what have you learned? You know, some of us just don't listen. We hear what's being preached on Sunday. We get with people to help us. We not only seek, but we solicit discipling, and still, we don't change. We don't change. We just stay the same. Every time someone gets with you, you have to talk about the exact same issues over and over and over again. You know, we struggle with the same thing year after year. We get stuck. And you know, this can be as simple as a decision. You can make a decision to change. You don't have to stay stuck, particularly when there are so many people there to help you, that you can learn from. I mean, there's a plethora of people in here that have an extreme amount of incredible biblical knowledge, experience, and you can learn from them. You don't have to go through things. You don't have to keep doing the same thing over and over. You don't have to be hard-headed, you know? I know that for me, my thing, I was habitually late to everything. And, you know, my excuse was I have two toddlers, two kids under one, you know, and it's just hard. You know, I can't pack the bottle. One of them's throwing up. You know, it's always something, you know. And so my excuse was that. But I had to repent. It was my selfishness. I had to see the sin, what it was that was causing me to be habitually late, what was causing me not to care that someone was having to wait or that someone was having to go over something a second time because I didn't get there to hear it when they said it the first time. Or, you know, it was always something. And, you know, again, it's just a decision. You know, you can repent. You know, I don't like it when people refer to their disobedience to the scriptures as their pet sin. You know, you hear people say, that's my pet sin. And I'm like, you know, but hopefully, if you have a pet, you're going to care for that pet. You feed it, you love it, you groom it. Some people refer to their pets as their best friend. You know, has your sin become your best friend? Your sin is not your pet. Your sin is not your pet. It's your thorn in your side. You know, and if it is your thorn in your side, then that's painful. It hurts. You know, have you ever been stuck by any sharp object or even a little teeny tiny splinter can get stuck and cause an infestation and cause infection. You know, it can hurt you. It can hurt you deeply. It can hurt you bad. A little teeny tiny splinter. And that's the same way it is with sin, you know. The sins that we nurture, the ones that we, you know, again, for me, anger. You know, well, that's just how I grew up. No, you got to learn how to control that. You know, the thing I'm working with now, started reading that way down book. It's just trying not to, you know, not overeating or eating when you feel hunger. You know, I don't want to be mastered by the sin of overeating or being overweight. I don't want to do that anymore, you know, so I want to change that. But, you know, it can't be your pet sin. It's not okay to have a pet sin. You know, we learn in different ways. And I'm a hands-on kind of person. I can't be talked through how to do a task. You can't tell me how to do it unless I am doing it as you tell me how to do it. You know, I gotta have my hands on it. I gotta do it while you talk me through it. Otherwise, I'm not gonna get it. You're gonna have to tell me again. You're gonna have to tell me again. And what I have found about myself is that this happens to me even with, you know, with discipling. When I was a young Christian, when I was a baby Christian, you know, you didn't get it the first time, Chloe. You know, you gotta go through this again. You got to go through this again. You know, and one of the things that I've learned, you know, my lesson is entitled, What Have You Learned? One of the things that I have learned is that I can learn from someone else's mistakes. You know, I don't have to make all of my own mistakes. And I particularly want to talk to the teens with this, some of the campus people, some of the singles. You know, you don't have to make your own mistakes all the time. You can learn from other people's mistakes. You know, some people can read instructions and even without a diagram and just bam, they can build a computer. You know, I'm not that person. I'm not that guy. You know, and some people can simply hear instructions. You know, I think those are pretty smart people. But I think that all of us, if we listen intently, like the scriptures we were talking about earlier, and we put them into practice, and practice makes perfect. The more you do it, the easier it gets. The more you do it, the easier it gets. It sounds elementary. Have a quiet time. Spend time with God in the morning. You know what? It sounds legalistic, but it works. It just works. And so I have 3 points. That all of that was my introduction. And so I have three points. You know, and the first point is learning by listening. And, you know, the first thing I want to do is stress that I said listening, not hearing. It's very different. It's very, very different. Hearing is not listening. Have you ever heard a song and loved the beat but had no recall of any of the lyrics that were in the song? You don't know what they said, but it was a great beat. You know, and, you know, this happened to me one time. I was riding in the car with Rachel. And there was a song that came on, and it reminded me of another song, but it didn't sound quite the same. But it was that song. It was a Marvin Gaye song. I used to go out to party. Y'all know this one? You know, so now there's like this remake of that song that Robin Thicke has done. And it would come on, and I was like, man, I remember this beat. I remember this. And Rachel would turn the radio. I have not heard that song all the way through yet. It seemed like every time it would come on, somehow I'd be in the car with Rachel. And so Rachel would turn, and I'm like, Rachel, I like this song. I want to hear this song. She's like, no, you don't. No, you don't. She said, Mom, this isn't a good song. You know, and learning from my kid. And I had to trust her. I still haven't heard that song. But I had to trust her, you know. You know, sometimes the lyrics are inappropriate. And some songs, you know, you just, you hear and you love. But it's not because of it's such a great song, the lyrics of the music. And not because of the music, but it's because you can relate to the lyrics. You can relate to what's being said. You feel that song. You know, and so you're just learning by listening. You know, I just think about that with I'm sorry, guys. My notes are out of order. Okay, so we'll just wing it. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah. But sometimes you just learn by listening. And, you know, sometimes hearing is not listening, you know. Always hearing God's word, even speaking God's word, but not listening. And if you are discipling someone that is like this, guys, be patient with them. You know, eventually, you know, I was a knucklehead. You know, eventually you come around. So if you are having somebody that's, you're constantly telling the same thing again, you know, and you're having to repeat yourself and you're discipling them over and over, you know, be patient with that person and pray for that person. And just know that eventually, you know, one day God is faithful. God is faithful. They'll get it. They'll get it. But you have to tell them every time. Every single time. No missed opportunities. You tell them every single time. Every time you see that thing in their character, that flaw, that thing that, every time you see their thorn showing itself, you tell them every single time. Every time. And the other way that we learn by seeing. You know, how many times in the fellowship have I just walked past someone, and I'm telling you right now, I don't even have my Bible up here. I've got this font on this paper so big, I've got every scripture because I cannot see. You know, my husband... My husband made a joke talking about it takes two of us to watch a movie the other week, you know. Yeah, because he can't see and I can't hear. I don't even have the heart to tell him that I can't see anymore either, you know. So I don't know what he's going to do with that. But, so y'all don't tell him until I break it to him. But you know, sometimes, and you don't do stuff intentionally, but you'll walk past somebody in the fellowship and it's like, oh, you walked right past me. You didn't even say anything, you know, or, no, maybe me, just me. Okay. All right. Okay. But when I'm without my glasses, you know, most of you right now are just a blur. But I still feel bad when this happens. You know, when you do stuff like that, apologize. You know, that's something that I've had to learn. You know, you humble yourself when somebody brings stuff to your attention and they tell you that you've done something to offend them or that you've hurt someone's feelings. You apologize. And even worse than just not seeing people sometimes, you know, I can just completely zone out. If I have a lot on my mind, if there's a lot going on at the house or there's something I got to do when I leave them, I can just completely zone out. But looking is not seeing. You know, looking is not seeing. Turn your Bibles to James 1:25. And it says, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. And then in Luke 24, 15 and 16, you know, it says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. No. And I wonder, you know, what keeps you from recognizing when someone is really trying to help you, really trying to be honest with you, really trying to tell you the truth. You know, we have to learn by seeing the truth. We have to see our own character. We have to see our own funky junk, you know, so we can change it. I had a hard time, you know, most of y'all know that, you know, I wasn't seeing this as it was happening, but I didn't realize how hard a time I was having with Abram being in that wheelchair until after he was out of the chair. You know, I was struggling with that. And I could see that, you know, even though, you know, I was like, I was struggling. My son is in a wheelchair. And to no fault of his own, you know, I felt like, you know, what's going on with this? And I was struggling with that so bad. I could not see, you know, people kept telling me. They kept telling me. Myrna was one of them. This is to the glory of God. You have to understand this is to the glory of God. You know, and that's, you know, I could hear her. And I could even see Myrna because, you know, she goes through a lot. And for someone like Myrna to say that to you, you know, you have to take that to heart. But even with that, I was struggling. Guys, I struggled with that thing so bad. I'm telling you, that had me so upset But even in that and being upset, I understood that I could trust God. God is going to bring this to, even if he never walked again, I knew that I could trust God. It wasn't to trusting God that I struggled with. This is another thing that I've learned. It wasn't trusting God that I struggled with. What I struggled with is submitting my will to God's will for his life. Submitting my will to God's will, that this was happening. I didn't want it. I don't want it now. I can tell you honestly, I still don't think that I've submitted my will to that. But you can't stop what God is doing. And I can tell you this, every single person in my house, as bad of an incident as that was, as horrible as it was for Abel, all of us walked away with a lesson learned. There's not one person in my family, in my immediate family, that didn't benefit spiritually from that experience. So whatever hardships, whatever things that you're going through, you know, learn to go through them and trust God and try to submit to his will for your life. Have you ever been discipled by someone that you can clearly see that they're calling you to a standard that they're not living by? Has that ever happened to you? I've had that experience, and that's hard. And I want to make sure I get this exactly right, so I'm going to read what I have written here. And it says, Satan will tempt you not to listen to that person. One of the things that I have learned throughout my 22 years as a disciple is, if it is from the scriptures, then you can trust the message regardless of the messenger. You know, it's like these TV evangelists sometimes. You know, I hear sermons from them. I love listening to Joel Osteen. I love listening to John Hagee. I listen to them. You know, a lot of times it's a powerful message. It's a powerful message that they deliver. I have been totally convicted about my sin from messages that I've heard from them. They know the Bible in a way that I wish I knew the Bible. Amazing knowledge of the scriptures. Then there'll be an altar call. Or then there'll be a pray Jesus at the end. They'll say, let's just, you know, put your hands on the TV or something, and let's just pray Jesus into your heart. But, you know, when I look at that, you know, I can't focus on the messenger. I can't focus on the messenger. I have to focus on the message. You know, we have people in our lives here. You know, God will present us with opportunities to help that person if they need help. But you have to let God use them to teach you in that moment. You know, God knows what he's doing. And I learned that God allows us to be put in situations to see more how we will respond to him and his word as opposed to the ones that are delivering his message. You know, how are you responding to God's word? How are you responding to his message, regardless of who's bringing the message? You know, and when I think about the missed opportunities that I have had because I was prideful, because I am prideful, because I can be critical or judgmental, or even when I was discipled by someone that I thought wasn't being what they thought, what I thought they should be, you know, there's so much more that I could have learned if I would just have humbled myself while I'm with that person and allow myself to be taught. And so there are people, again, here. You know, we can't get caught up in the differences. We can't get caught up into the things that we don't like you know, we can't have the chips on our shoulders from things that have happened in the past, or someone has said something to you that they shouldn't said, you know. There's a lesson in everything. There's a lesson in everything. And sometimes we see how people are being deceived by Satan. You know, yeah, we need to speak up. But we also need to be humble enough to accept when someone is trying to teach us, trying to help us. We have to be learners. We have to be able to learn. And now the older women. You know, as the older women, we've been given the charge to teach the younger women. You know, one of the things that Don says is that there are no junior disciples. The expectation has to be the Bible. And so my spin is I say that there are no senior disciples. The expectation still has to be the Bible. These younger women need us. Our lives, our life experience is invaluable. It's needed. We need to help. You know, and I know that things happen as we get older, and it's harder to do as much as you did before. But, you know, my Aunt Sylvine is 85 years old, and Sylvine says, don't die until you're dead. You know. And so, you know, and I take that to heart. You know, there are times when I don't want to. I mean, I think I'm functioning right now on about 3 hours of sleep. You know, but you have to take that to heart. You do whatever you have to do until you can do what you want to do. And then even then, you do what God wants you to do. Okay? I want to have the heart to learn from every single person that's in here. I want to look at you and be able to see your potential. I want to have dreams for you. You know, something else we have to learn. We have to learn. We have to learn how to train ourselves to see the good. Because sometimes as women, we can be so critical. And, you know, instead of just looking at each other and picking each other apart, you know, I had to train myself not to be that way. That's another way we learn. We learn by training ourselves. And the last way that I wanted to talk about how we learn is we learn by feeling. Okay. And what I have written here is that touching is not feeling. And it says, you will never experience all of life's obstacles, but there will be enough that you do experience to build character, convictions, and to teach you empathy and compassion. But in order for that to happen, you have to be hands-on in the lives of other people. You may not be the one with a chronic illness. You may not have experienced being hungry or homeless. You may not have lost a loved one before. But you can serve people like that. You have to serve people that have experienced those things. You can be there for them. You can reach out to them. You can give them a hand. And when you do that, you do learn the empathy. You learn how to feel what they feel. And it's not your experience. I truly believe that each of us, our experiences are uniquely our own. I mean, yeah, you may have lost your mom like I lost my mom, but you didn't experience. You didn't go through my experience. You went through your experience. Does that make sense? And so I believe that each of our experiences are uniquely our own. But not having experienced things personally may make it harder to understand what someone feels. But that doesn't mean that you can't serve them. That doesn't mean that you can't have compassion for them. And that doesn't mean that we can't learn the heart of Jesus so that we can be able to relate to people better. You know, It was mentioned earlier that Myrna would really love visitors. Yeah, she's going through a lot right now. And I'm going to tell you this. Anytime you spend time with Myrna, it would be more of a benefit to you probably than to her. And that's just the truth, because, you know, she's just amazing that way. There's so many of us that have persevered through so many different things. And what I wanted to say is, you know, we need to be there for each other. You know, be there for each other. Maybe there's a few of us that have no idea what real pain is truly. We've never experienced like real pain. But as disciples, we have a unique opportunity. We don't have to wait until the pain is our own before we experience it. We can experience it through someone else and with someone else and just help them along. So that's how we learn compassion and empathy, is by being there for other people. My favorite passage is Ecclesiastes 7. The whole thing. But I just want to read a little bit of it. And it says, it's Ecclesiastes 7, starting in verse 1. And it says, a good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death is better than the day of birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, because the sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the song of fools. Like the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of fools. This too is meaningless. Extortion turns a wise man into a fool, and a bribe corrupts the heart. The end of a matter is better than the beginning, and patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the laps of fools. Do not say, why are the old days better than these days? For it's not wise to ask such questions. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter, as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom preserves the life of its possessor. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? When times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider. God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, man cannot discover anything about his future. You know, we have to do more than just touch people's lives. We have to feel their pain. And that would drive us to have a love for the lost and to reach out to people and to want to see them come to know God. It'll drive us to our knees. It'll drive us to open our mouths. It'll drive us to share the good news of the gospel and to see all men saved. It amazes me that in John 11, 32 to 34, you know, Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but still he wept at his passing. Still cried about it. Jesus knew that, you know, he healed the lepers, but he didn't just heal them. He actually touched them. You know, he wasn't fearful of being there with them and touching them. I believe that he wanted to feel what they were experiencing. That's why he touched them the way that he did. That's why he had to reach out and actually put his hand on them. You know, that when the bleeding woman touched Jesus, he felt her. He felt her when she touched him. You know, we must dare not only to touch the lives of people we're trying to reach, but also feel what they're going through and to be there for them. In closing, I would like to share some of the things that I have learned over the years that have left an impact on me. Mary Jane Hall taught me to pray. That was my mother's mother. She would be on her knees at night sometime for, I mean, I would fall asleep while we were on our knees praying. I'd wake up. It would be dark outside. We would start before dark. I'd wake up. My grandmother would still be praying. I mean, for hours. And I was just blown away by that. My mother taught me how not to be bitter and resentful as she was dying. Sherry Massey taught me how to multitask with two toddlers. I would watch her put together meals, help with homework, everything, while she had one baby on the hip and the other one, you know, right there at the table with her, and she's discipling me at the same time. You know, and Abram taught me perseverance. Abram is my son. Barbara Janowski taught me that I am worth the time and investment. Sarah Alloway has taught me how to draw people out. When you're studying the Bible with them, when you're discipling them. Myrna's taught me that pain we endure and the trials we face is all to the glory of God. Jennifer Hood has taught me not to live in fear of losing loved ones. The worst thing that can happen to them if they die as disciples is they go to heaven. Julius Goins taught me that even if someone is strange, they don't have to be a stranger. That was my dad. Michael Rowell has taught me unconditional love. So regardless of how bad I get, he still loves me. And he taught me that God has to come first. Trenise Pott taught me that you teach people how to treat you. That's my sister. And Caroline Stairs taught me that you don't have to be loud or upfront to have an impact on others for God. Matthew 28, 18, or 19, 18, says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. You can't teach what you haven't learned. We have an incredible opportunity to learn and to be taught. What have you learned? That's it.
Amen. Chloe, thank you. Thank you. It's it's not easy to do what you did, to be able to grasp a thought and to be able to communicate to people and to call people to change and to become. I think there are three things you called us to, if I may just rehash what you just said. You called me to learn by listening. Learning by listening. Learn by seeing, and learn by feeling. And I love the way you closed it with Matthew 28, to go and make disciples of all nations. And before that, you had spoken about empathy and compassion, and that you cannot live the totality and entirety of life within one person. But if you strive to understand somebody and learn them, then I believe we can be able to do that. We can be able to make disciples of all nations. I think the passage that comes to my mind as you were reading and calling us to become learners, to be able to figure out how we learn, and you shared how you learn, is in Romans 12. If we may turn there. Romans 12. And basically, I think you've just called us to have a paradigm shift. And to be able to look at ourselves and be able to figure out how do I learn? And regardless how you learn, to be able to learn further, to be able to embrace how else you can learn. And it says this in Romans 12 from verse 1. It says, therefore I urge you, Brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And I want to say you've called us to renew our minds. And I pray that we'll be able to just, you know, search ourselves, figure out how we learn, and just grow. And what you said, I think, was pointing, what have you learned? And I think of my spiritual journey. I think I had a revamp of everything in my life, from how to spank, to how to cook, to how to be a wife, and having people who have that kind of imprint and impact in your life, it makes life worth it. And I thank you. I thank you for just calling us to that. Thank you for standing up and speaking. I'm very grateful, very thankful, Chloe. But I think Saturday, Maya Angelou, I have to speak her name. She passed away. She's as you were saying, teaching about learning, I thought about her. She's written amazing books, heart-wrenching books. One of her books, I don't think I've even finished reading it. She's speaking about her life. I Know Why the Caged Birds Sing. I haven't been able to finish it because it's so heart-wrenching what she went through. And I was thinking about this today, that I must finish it just to honor her, regardless how difficult it was. But as I was reading different excerpts of what people have said about her, one consistent thought was that she was a learner of life. And I think she literally wrote three autobiographies of her life, with the three stages of her life. And I'll just read what she said and we'll close. She speaks of the hardships and hard times in our lives and what should come out of them. And she wrote this: if God put the rainbows right in the clouds themselves, each one of us in the direct and dullest and most dreaded and dreary moments can see a possibility of hope, she said in a speech at a conference at Weber State University in 1997. Each one of us has the chance to be a rainbow in somebody's cloud. And I was reminding the girls, my children, when there were one and two, I would go running and come back, and when I'm cooling down, I would have one of them put their head on one side and the other one on the other. She read Bill Clinton's inaugural poem, I forget the name, in the morning something, but she finished the poem with saying good morning, and I bought the poem in a cassette player at that time. And our thing, it was probably like around 11, I would have the girls put their heads over me and listen to the poem. And we would wait for that word, good morning. And they would pipe in their words and we would scream, good morning. And, you know, I reminded them of Maya Angelou. It's just a little tidbit. I love her. I love her poetry. I love some of her works. A little bit easier to read, but just heart-wrenching. But the thing that comes across for her is that she was a learner of life. And progressively you see that, and very wise. And I think yesterday, listening to excerpts in CNN, she said, the greatest virtue to have is courage. Courage to do the right thing, courage to speak up, courage. If you don't have that virtue, then life becomes literally impossible. And so with that, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we praise you and glorify your name. I thank you so much, Father, for this evening. Thank you so much for this time that we can come together, Father, as women and teach one another, Father. I thank you for Chloe teaching us about being a learner and the different ways that we learn. I pray, Father, more than anything, that we'll learn from you, that we'll sit at your feet, we'll be humble, we'll be open, we'll align our will to your will, Father, we'll trust in you and submit to you, Father. And as you work on our hearts and our character through different lives, life issues, Father, I pray that we'll become more and more like you, Father. Thank you so much for your patience. in our lives, when we blow it, when we resist your teachings. I pray, Father, that we'll be students of yours so that we can be able to make it in the end. I love you, Lord. I thank you so much for this time. Thank you so much for Chloe, her opening herself up and teaching us, Father. Please be with us tonight. Watch over us, Father, and protect us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're dismissed.